Morning. Today's daf Me'ilas Tes Zayin. We are on Tes Vav Amud Beis. We are at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. Calling the veils mitzvah from Zuim Zoo. We're at the very bottom of Mishnah. This parak, fourth parak of Me'ilas, is dedicated to the topic of tziruf of combination. It opened up obviously relevant to our Masechta dealing with Me'ilah and tziruf as it relates to Me'ilah. But as long as the Mishnah had an opportunity to talk about tziruf, so the Mishnah could not help itself, but rather continue on the course with discussing issues of tziruf. And basically what it allows us to do is it allows us to put things in categories, meaning if something is categorically the same or similar, so then it can combine with another item in order to get to the requisite amount. That's the basic idea of the Mishnah. In fact, the first Mishnah of the Perek, which we learned yesterday, treat us to an idea that when it comes to Kachim and Me'ilah, so basically all Kachim can be viewed as one category. In other words, you could be mitzarif kachim mizbech with kachim bedek habayis. It's obviously a huge chiddush. In other words, one could have easily said that there's two different types of kedushas. One's towards the mizbech, and one is towards temple upkeep. But the Mishnah tells us that there are not two categories, but really they are of one general category, in that you can be mitzarif. You can combine a shear of one together with a shear of the other. So that's what we learned yesterday in the Mishnah regarding Me'ilah as it relates to tziruf. And then the Mishnah went on from there. The next Mishnah we did also was talking about Me'ilah and the tziruf of the various aspects of a carbon ola. The basar, the chelev, the solus, yain, shemen, all the various aspects of an ola can be mitzarif, can combine to get you to the requisite shear. By the way, parenthetically, we noted yesterday, the requisite shear for Me'ilah is a pruta, meaning it's the value of a pruta, because Me'ilah is misappropriation, misuse. And so therefore, the violation of Me'ilah comes in terms of getting benefit from said kachim. And so that is the value of a pruta. It's not an achila, it's not the consumption, although you can violate Me'ilah through consuming, but it's not the achila, it's not a kezayis, but rather it's a kedei pruta. That's what we pointed out yesterday. Then the Mishnah yesterday moved on to different areas in halacha and talked about tziruf. We talked yesterday about truma. Truma is going to be mitzarif one with another. A person eats truma and he does so while not being a kohen, the zar she'achal truma, so he has to pay back keren and chomesh. So how much truma does he have to eat in order to pay back the keren and chomesh? Here too also, it's an act of theft, so yeah, the amount is going to be a shava pruta's worth. How can truma combine one with another? And as we pointed out yesterday, yeah, truma can combine one with another. And even different types of truma. Truma together with trumas meiser, together with challah, together with bikurim, together with, there was one more. I'm looking right at the Mishnah. And Trumas Demai. Okay, right. It's Trumas Meiser, Trumas Demai, and Chala and Bikurim. So those five different types of Trumas can combine together in order to get you to the requisite shear. That's what we learned yesterday as it relates to Truma. We are up to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah on the bottom of Tezvav Amud Beis. Speaks also about tziruf, and that's in terms of nevela. The Mishnah says, "Kol nevelas mitzarfin zuim zu." Nevelas are going to combine one with another. Now we're talking about the iser of nevela, so that's it's an isolav. It's a negative prohibition that one is not allowed to eat nevela. Any animal that has not underwent a proper shechita is now going to be a nevela, and therefore subject to the iser of eating nevela. Now here we're talking presumably about an achila. Therefore, the shear that we're talking about is a kezias. So if I have a half kezias of this nevela coupled with a half kezias of this nevela, so they're going to combine one with another. So far, it's a pretty straightforward idea, meaning that the kezias doesn't have to come from one nevela, it can come from multiple nevelas. But let's stretch out the idea of the Mishnah. Look at the first Rashi, the only Rashi really on the Mishnah, where he writes, "Kol nevelas mastar from zuim zu lichezias, mashma hashta filo nevelas behema tameim nevelas behema tahora." So Rashi stretches out the idea of the Mishnah. Even if I have nevela where it's coming from two different types of animals. One animal is a kosher type of animal, and the other animal is a non-kosher type of animal. And now they both die without the benefit of a shechita. Now, you and I both understand that when it comes to a non-kosher animal, so shechita is not going to help it, meaning it's not going to make it kosher. But nevertheless, if it dies without a shechita, so it's behema tamea, and it's also nevela. Now, if you listen carefully to how I'm saying it, and it's also nevela, what are we really touching on? What issue are we touching on? Isser chal al isser, meaning it's one isser already, it's a behema tamea, and on top of that, now it's another isser as well, of nevela. Can that happen? Can the isser nevela go ahead and impose on top of the already existing isser of behema tamea? So I'm glad you asked. That's going to be a big part of today's Gemara's discussion. But let's assume right now that's pshat in the Mishnah. that if I have nevela of kosher animal, meaning that animal wasn't shechted properly, and nevela of non-kosher animal, again, shechita is irrelevant, but I'll just say it, and it wasn't shechted, even if I did shechted, still, in other words, shechita doesn't mean anything, and I combine them together, they are combinable, they're mitzarif, and so therefore it's going to get me to the shear. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that's the way Rashi presents it, and again, as you already can hear, it's really touching on the issue of an isser being chal on top of another isser.
What if we said nevela applies only to kosher animals?
We could say that, but I'll show you the drushas later on, where the drushas have nevela extending to all animals, kosher and non-kosher alike. Shkatzim, the Mishnah's girsa is shkatzim. It's probably the correct girsa is probably shratzim, and you'll see later on this morning that's in fact the case. So hashratzim is from zemzer. When if I eat a sheretz, so it's much star from one to another. Sheretz, no good translation for the word sheretz. Basically, any animal that crawls low to the ground, doesn't have to crawl on its belly. Can have little legs, but anything that goes low to the ground is what's called a sheretz. All right, sheretzim in the Torah are prohibited. The only sheretzim that are permitted in the Torah are grasshoppers, and there are four types of grasshoppers that the Torah permits. But after that, the rest of them are all going to be aser. So again, achilas shratzim also is a lav in the Torah. It's a forbidden food. It's machalos asuras, and so therefore eating it is subject to a iser. And the various shratzim can combine one with another. What's the shear for achila of shratzim? So this is going to be a big topic in today's daf, and I'll tell you why it gets a little bit confusing. I'll reserve all this introduction to the second half of today's daf, where we're going to be discussing shratzim in detail. So everything I was planning on about to say, I will say just later this morning when we actually get to the topic of shratzim. Our daf is divided nice and organized today. First half of today's daf is talking about nevela. Second half of today's daf is talking about shratzim. Okay, nice and straightforward. Let's work on the first half of today's daf. We're in Tezayin Amud Aleph, and we are talking about nevela. And the question becomes the following. Our Mishnah taught us that all nevelas combine one with another. Now, one thing I did not mention in the Mishnah, which is now is a good time to do so, is the following. When the animal does not receive the benefit of a proper shechita, so the animal is now a nevela and aser ba'achila, it's also a source of tumah. When you have a nevela, so and that means the animal was not shechted properly, so this animal now becomes a source of tumah, a significant source of tumah, meaning it communicates, it's an avatumah, it's a source of tumah, communicates tumah through maga masa. If you touch the animal or even just carry the animal, even without contact, but you're shouldering the weight of the animal, so you now are going to become tumah. You'll become rishon l'tumah, and you'll require tvila and harav shemesh in order to become tahor. So a nevela is a source of tumah. So our Mishnah tells us that all the nevela is going to be mitzarev zum zu. They're going to combine one with another. Amar Rav. With that stated, so we are going to see a machlokus between Rav and Levi, and Rav Asi may be arguing as well. You'll see what I mean in just a moment. Amar Rav, the Gemara starts off with the position of Rav Loshanu Alalinyan Tuma. The idea of our Mishnah that they're going to combine, that's only vis-a-vis Tuma. But in terms of the Isra Achila's concern, the animals are going to be separated. That kosher animals and non-kosher animals, the nevela of each are not going to combine. Only vis-a-vis Tuma, Rav says, is our Mishnah's point correct. Meaning, not correct, of course the Mishnah is correct, but the Mishnah is only applicable in the case of Tuma, on the subject of Tuma, but not on the subject of Achila. Now let's explain this. It's actually, when you think about it, it's super straightforward. Rashi over here on the top of the Amud, the Mefarish, however you want to describe him, explains as follows. I'm reading the Rashi inside. Amar Rav Loshanu, the nevela mitzarfet zum zu, the mashma afilo nevela behema tamei nevela behema tara, ela le'inyan tuma, hanogea bahen. If I were to touch them, so then I'm going to become tamei. Dibber tarvayu ksiv hanogea benivla sa yitma. The Torah says that if I touch its nevela, I'm going to become tamei. The Torah does not make any discrimination between kosher versus non-kosher animals. Both, if dead without a shechita, are going to become a nevela, a source of tumah. In this regard, Rav says they're going to be mitzarif. Aval le'inyan achila l'chayv ala mishum lo sochlu kol nevela lo mitzarfin ela nevelas tahara bifnei atzman mitzarfin zu zu unevelas tameis bifnei atzman. Skip the parentheses. Now, Rashi explaining Rav says, look, as far as achila is concerned, they're not going to combine. Why? Right after the parentheses, here's the key words of Rashi: the ein iser chal al iser. Because when I have a non-kosher animal, so it died without a shechita. It's a nevela, right? No, it's not a nevela. It already was prohibited. The prohibition of a non-kosher animal is it's a non-kosher animal. What we refer to, we describe in halacha as behemah tameh. The Torah describes it as behemah tameh. It's a non-kosher animal. And so therefore, a non-kosher animal already is usur through the iser of behemah tameh. Now it's dead and now you can't eat it because it's a nevela. That's, you're imposing another iser on top of our already pre-existing iser. You can't do that. Ein iser chalal iser. Delo asi. I'm just finishing up the Rashi. Delo asi iser nevela v'chalal iser behema tamea. Hilkach lo mitzarfin. Doesn't combine. So Rav's chiddush in the Mishnah is that when the Mishnah says mitzarfin, that's only legabi tuma, but that's not legabi achila. And when you think about it, it makes sense. Levi Amar, back to the Gemara's second opinion. Afila achila nami mitzarfin. Levi's of the opinion that they're going to be mitzarif. They will combine, meaning that on the behema tamea, you're also going to have the iser of nevela. And therefore, the nevela of a behemah tameah will combine with the nevela of a behemah tahara. Good. That's Levi's position. Now, Levi obviously disagrees with Rav. That part's clear. Why does Levi disagree with Rav? Okay, so here we get to an interesting discussion. So, it could be that it's just simply a fundamental issue. And that Rav is of the opinion, ein iser chal al iser, and Levi is of the opinion that iser is chal on top of another iser. It could be that fundamental. In fact, if you look at the Rashi inside, I'm not going to read it, but that's the way Rashi presents it. It's a simple fundamental issue of whether or not I subscribe to the principle of Ein Isser Chal Isser or I subscribe to the principle of Isser Chal Isser. And that means that according to Levi, who does subscribe to Isser Chal Isser, so already it's an Isser of Behemoth Tamea, but it's also going to be, when it dies, an Isser of Nevela. And therefore, the two can combine one with another. The Nevela of Behemoth Tamea can combine with the Nevela of Behemoth Torah. That's the simplest way to say over Levi. In fact, that's the way Rashi says it. Tosus disagrees. Tosus is a lengthy Tosus. He starts on the bottom of the Amud Aleph and he goes into our daf. Tosus says that the machlokis is not that fundamental. They both subscribe to the principle of ein iser chalal iser. Generally speaking, whenever the Gemara discusses this topic, which is pretty often, generally speaking, the preferred position of the Gemara is ein iser chalal iser. It's certainly the sense that you get that is the... There are Tanaim who say Isser Chalal Isser, but the general position is Ein Isser Chalal Isser. Tosfos says Rav and Levi both subscribe to that. Ein Isser Chalal Isser. So then what's the machlokus over here? It's a local machlokus. It's not a more fundamental general machlokus. And that's the following. The Isser of Nevela. Isser Nevela, according to Levi, is a really interesting Isser. Because what do we know regarding Nevela? An animal dies without a Shechita. Okay, fine. What now? A kosher animal dies without a proper Shechita. Good. Excuse me. What if I were to take chalav of said animal and eat the chalav of said animal? That chalav is going to be aser because the Torah prohibits chalav. We spoke about that in Krisos at length. Good. Chalav are the forbidden fats of the animal. So if I eat the chalav of an animal that died without a proper shechita, am I violating chalav and nevela? So here the Gemara elsewhere tells us very clearly, yes, you are. Meaning the Isser of Nevela is such a strong Isser that it's already able to superimpose on top of the Isser of Chalev. So that means to say that we see the nature of Nevela is that it's a rule breaker. The rule is Ein Isser Chalal Isser. But when it comes to Nevela, Nevela is able to superimpose on top of Chalev. So what Levi is going to argue now is the following. This is the way Tosfos is explaining Levi. Is that, yes, in general, he does agree with the idea of Ein Isser Chalal Isser, but when it comes to the Isser of Nevela, because Nevela is such a strong Isser, so therefore Nevela is able to superimpose on top of the already existing Isser of Behema Temea. So even though it's already also through Behema Temea, it's also going to be also through the Isser of Nevela. And therefore, the Nevela of Behema Temea is able to combine with the... With the nevela of behemah tahara. This is the way Tosfos presents the machlokus between Rav and Levi. Okay, so far what do we have right now? We have in front of us two positions on hitzarfus when it comes to nevela. Rav's position is our Mishnah that says that there is hitzarfus is only limited to tuma, not to achila. Levi's position is that the hitzarfus of our Mishnah is both on tuma and on achila. And then there's possibly a third position. And what do I mean by that? Ravasi. Ravasi amar tahorn latzman tamein latzman. Rav Asi is of the opinion that Taharon and Tumein are separate. Now, he doesn't explain a lot of what he said. He just simply says they're separate. Now, igadamri pligi adarav, the igadamri lo pligi. Now, some are of the opinion that there's, well, I'm going to do this out of order. Some are of the opinion that he's not arguing with Rav, meaning what is Rav Asi's position? It's basically exactly what Rav said. Rav said that our Mishnah is only limited to Tumah, but when it comes to Achila, there's no Itztarfus. Rav Asi says that where the Behemah Tameh Latzman, the Behemah Torah Latzman, that's just talking about Achila, but it's not talking about Tumah. It's exactly what Rav taught us. And so therefore, Rav Asi is just basically another version of what Rav said. That's one possibility. But there's another possibility, and that is Pliga, that Rav Asi is arguing on Rav. Meaning when Rav Asi says that the Behemah Tameh and Behemah Torah are going to be separated one from another, that is a flat rule. They're always going to be separated from one another. Bein Achila, Bein Tumah, they're going to be separated from one another. Now, what's the idea behind Rav Asi? It's actually a pretty straightforward idea. And again, what I'm about to say is in Tosfos. The idea behind Rav Asi is, look, we know they're different. We know they're different. How do I know they're different? Because Rav Asi is basically taking the position of Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. So that means to say that when the non-kosher animal dies, it can't be subject to Nevela. It's not going to become a Nevela because it already has the pre-existing Isser of Behemah Tameah. So what does that tell me? It tells me that when it comes to kosher and non-kosher animals, they are fundamentally different. A kosher animal that dies without a Shechita can become a Nevela. A non-kosher animal that dies without a Shechita cannot become a Nevela. That's it. It's really that simple. And therefore, there can't be Hitzdarfus combination for the two of them. Not for the idea of Achila, and not even for the idea of Tumah. Now, when a non-kosher animal dies, it's not Tumah, it's not going to be a source of Tumah. Sure, it's going to be a source of Tumah. But they can't combine one with another because we see that they're so fundamentally different, so therefore they're just simply they can't be put in the same category, not even as it relates to Tumah. This is the position of Rav Asi, this is the possible position of Rav Asi, and so therefore, if this is correct, Rav Asi here is arguing on Rav. So the Gemara now is going to be challenging. Now, presumably, this challenge is going on our most recent understanding of Rav Asi. The Gemara goes and quotes the following braisa. Mises para, v'chaye gamal, eim etzarf in zu and zu. Let's say I have the following two pieces of meat in front of me. Dead cow, meaning the meat of dead cow, or we can call that nevela, because that's what it is. The meat of dead cow, coupled with the meat taken off of a live camel. Now, the meat taken off of a live camel, what is that called? That's called Eiver Menachai. Eiver Menachai or Basar Menachai, meaning, okay, and as we also learned, is also going to be a source of Tumah. Ein Mitztarfin Zeh Im Zeh. The Braisa tells us that they're not going to combine because they are so categorically different one than another. Yes, they are both meat of an animal, but they are coming from two different types of animals with two different types of Isurim. One's coming from a Nevela, the other's coming from a live animal, that's Eiver Menachai, Basar Menachai, and so therefore they don't combine one with another. That is the Braisa. Now with that very short Braisa, that Braisa seems to be extraordinarily revelatory. Because what is that Braisa saying without saying it? What the Braisa is saying, perfect. Right? The Braisa is saying that if the camel were dead, they are combinable. That's what the Braisa sounds like it's saying. And obviously we're blending together now a kosher animal and non-kosher animal. And you see now that they're combinable. So and the Gemara now jumps exactly on this point. Ha misa shnei mitzarfin. So if the two of them now were dead, and I had the meats of the two of them, they are going to be able to combine. Kashula Rav Asi. And that's very difficult for Rav Asi. Because Rav Asi was of the position, again, on the version of Pliga that he's arguing with Rav, Rav Asi says that they're not combinable on any level. Not on Achila, not on Tumah, they're simply not combinable. And so therefore, the way we just learned the Braisa and the inference, the clear inference of the Braisa, is telling us that they could combine. So, Ema, Chayish, Neim, Starfin. So the Gemara says, you know, I'll tell you what. You read the Braisa, great. The inference you made from the Braisa, how about we go in the other direction? Maybe the inference of the Braisa is that if I have the meat of both animals taken off of the animals while both are alive, now that's what the Braisa meant to tell us. Under those circumstances, it's combinable. And if you think about it, makes sense, because it's Eiver Menachai coupled with Eiver Menachai. Omani Rav Yehudi Yidamar Eiver Menachai Noag B'Tmeya. And we have to add on that in order to suggest such a pshat in the Braisa, it has to subscribe to Rav Yehuda's viewpoint that Eiver Menachai is applicable to both kosher and non-kosher animal. So this is a way to read the Braisa. Now it is a way to read the Braisa. Not to read the Braisa, but to infer from the Braisa. It is true that you can infer the Braisa in this manner, but the truth of the matter is, the Gemara now is going to point out, it's really not the simplest pshat in the Braisa. You mean to tell me that if my camel and my cow were both dead, and I took pieces of both of them, they're not going to combine. So my irya derahi v'tini misas paravechai gama ha filo misas shneim lo mitzarfe. So let's say Ravasi's right, and let's say the Braisa agreed to Ravasi. You know what would have been the biggest chiddush of the Braisa? It would have been a much bigger deal for the Braisa to have said, I take the meat of a dead cow, a non-shechted cow, coupled with the meat of a camel that also is dead, and I put the two of them together, and they don't combine. If the Braisa really felt like Ravasi, the Braisa should have said it. That really is the biggest chiddush. I mean, think about it. It's nevela and nevela, and they don't combine. That is a big chiddush. If the Braisa felt that way, the Braisa should have said it. It didn't say that. And furthermore, oh, Tanya. And on top of that, the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what's also troubling. We have another Braisa. And this second Braisa is going to go over the same case, but with much more detail. And it's really hard to reinterpret this Braisa. Chatzi zayis parah v'chatzi zayis gamal. If I have a half a zayis of cow meat and a half a zayis of camel meat, b'misasa, ein mitzta, I'm sorry, chatzi zayis parah v'chayeha, v'chatzi zayis gamal b'misasa, but when I took it from the cow, it was still alive. When I took it from the camel, it was dead. Ein mitzarfin, it's not going to combine. Ava chatzi zayis mi parah v'chatzi zayis mi gamal b'mechaya b'misasa mitzarfin. But if I take a half a zayis of camel meat and a half a kazayis of cow meat, and they're both alive, or they're both dead, they're going to be mitzarf, they are going to, in fact, combine. Why? Because either they're both Eivor Menachai, or they're both going to be Nevela. The Braisa here clearly states they are going to combine. Now again, according to Levi, check. According to Rav, also, by the way, you get a check, because according to Rav, they're going to combine vis-a-vis Tumah. But according to Ravasi, and his version that he says that they are segregated under all circumstances, how do you understand this Braisa? V'kasha reisha seifa. And not only that, but this Braisa goes against the inference that we said in the previous Braisa. Elash mamina misa shneim mitzarfin. So the Gemara says that if they're both dead, they are in fact going to combine. And this now poses a difficulty for Ravasi, because Ravasi says they're not going to combine under any circumstance. So amlecha Ravasi, haitana safer, iser chala iser. So Ravasi will tell you, okay, you know what? I'm with you. Meaning the way that you read the Braisa and your interpretation of the Braisa, I have no other way to interpret it. But Ravasi says, but look, maybe the Braisa is subscribing to the principle of Isser Chal al Isser, that the animals are Behemoth Tameah, and what can overlay on top of that is also going to be the Isser of Nevela. So if the Braisa subscribes to that, so then I can take my Nevela of a kosher animal and my Nevela of a non-kosher animal, they can combine, because the Braisa subscribes to Isser Chal al Isser. Meanwhile, Ravasi will tell you, my pshat in the Mishnah, or my pshat period, is a good pshat. Because my pshat subscribes to the principle of ein iser chal al iser, and that's why the carcass of a kosher animal and the carcass of a non-kosher animal simply are not combinable. One is an iser of nevela, and the other one is an iser of behemah tameah. And because I hold of ein iser chal al iser, the iser nevela is not going to impose on top of the iser of behemah tameah. Okay, and they're simply not combinable. So Ravasi will just simply say, I fundamentally disagree with the Braisa because I subscribe to ein iser chal al iser. Ravasi can do that, meaning he's arguing with the Braisa, but he's taking a position that many Tanaim subscribe to. So it's totally within his right to do that.
There would have been a difference if it was a dead cow and a piece of a live cow. Would have been a...
No, then the dead cow would be Nevela, and the meat from the live cow would be Basar Menachai. So and that wouldn't combine.
They wouldn't combine.
No, that wouldn't combine. Okay, the Ad Kan that takes us to the first half of today's daf, and that was our topic of Nevela. So again, quick recap. Nevelas combine one with another. That's what our Mishnah taught us. And then from there, it's just a question of how far-reaching did the Mishnah mean? Did the Mishnah go so far to say as they combine on every aspect, both on Tumah and Achila? That's Levi's position. Is it a modified understanding of the Mishnah, where it only combines vis-a-vis Tumah, but not Legabe Achila? Or maybe Ravasi takes the position that mamash they don't combine at all. Which, by the way, how then is Ravasi going to read our Mishnah? That's a wonderful question. I'm glad I asked it. I don't have a prepared answer. But but Ravasi says they don't combine at all. And then the subsequent discussion in the Gemara regarding which position seems to be the most demonstrable from Mishnah, from Braisas, etc., etc. I'm Rav Yudam Rav. We're up to the second half of today's daf, and we're talking now about Shratzim. In the topic regarding Shratzim. So now let's have a quick introduction. A sheretz is a forbidden food. You're not allowed to eat shratzim. Now it happens to be that Kadosh Baruch Hu did not give us much of a Yetzahara for Shvatim, or at least I'll speak on my behalf. Didn't give me much of a Yetzahara when it comes to the eating or the consumption of the Sherets. Right? I look at the various Shvatim around the world, and even though in many societies in our culture, we don't eat Shvatim. But in many cultures, however, Shvatim are a delicacy. And so I don't get it, which is good. Even if I did get it, still wouldn't be allowed to eat it. But a sheretz is a prohibited food. Now, as far as tumah and sheretz is concerned, so here the story goes like this. The halacha is like this. There are 8 shvatim that are detailed in the Gemara that are enumerated in the Torah, where if these sheretz, if this particular sheretz were to die, so then the carcass of the sheretz would also give off tumah. This is an avatumah. As avatumas go, this is the lightest form of an avatuma. It only is going to be metame b'maga, and that's it. Not b'masa, and certainly not b'oho. So if I have any one of these, they shrots them after they're dead, and only after they're dead, so they're going to become a source of tumma. Now, the Torah actually goes and tells us what those 8 shrots them are. Of those 8 shrots them, how many that can we properly identify nowadays? So probably not. In other words, even the modern Hebrew words that we use to describe them are probably not it. Tzav in modern Hebrew is a turtle, and the Gemara elsewhere talks about trapping the tzav. It's not much of a big deal to trap a turtle. It's a pretty slow moving animal. Anyway, so these are the shmona shrotzim of the Torah, which means the following: as far as all other shrotzim in the world, and let's make a simple assumption that there are many other shrotzim than just these 8, right? We're talking about the entire world of insects and creatures that crawl low to the ground. So of the many shrotzim out there, of the vast majority of the shrotzim that are out there, they're not going to be a source of tumah. They're still asur ba'achila, but they're not going to be a source of tumah. Okay, that's one introductory point. One more. When it comes to achila, how much do you have to eat in order to violate the Torah? A kezias. In terms of tumah, how much remains do you need of it in order to give off tumah? So this is the size of an adasha, the size of a lentil bean, which is significantly smaller than that of a kezias. Why is the shear of tumah different for that of a for the shear of achila? Well, the answer is actually pretty straightforward. Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, meaning whenever we talk about shiurim, so shiurim are based on halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Although there is also a little bit of a svara. Rashi over here quotes it somewhere on this amud. I'll find it, but I'll just right now say it outside. Rashi over here cites that there is a Gemara that says that the reason why for the shear tumah it's the size of an adasha is because one of the shrotzim is a chomet. Again, I'm not really sure how to define that in English, but anyway, one of the shrotzim is a chomet. At birth, it is the size of an adasha. So the smallest of the shmona shrotzim after being presented into this world is the size of an adasha, and therefore that is the determinant of the shear of tumah when it comes to the shmona shrotzim. Okay, it's kind of like that. Not exactly, but yeah. Okay. Anyway, so the size of tumah, you need a dasha's worth of its remains in order to be mitame. Okay, that is all just a crash course in the world of shrotzim and now our Gemara. I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. Yeah, I'm sorry.
If you have a piece of tumah and it diminishes, once it gets under the adasha, then the tumah goes away.
It's not a source of It's not a source of tumah.
No,
correct.
It was tumah before. Now all of a sudden it diminishes and the tumah goes away.
Certainly, as an avatuma goes away, would it be subject to tumas ochlin? So tumas ochlin we discussed extensively back in the 9th parak of Chulin. Really depends on whether people eat it or people don't eat it, right? If people eat it, so then subject to tumas ochlin. If people don't eat it, it's not. I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. Achil shvatim loke ala bechazai. So if you eat a sheretz, so you're subject to malchus, you're going to be subject to malchus when you eat a kezias worth of the sheretz. Good. I know I said it, but the only reason why I knew it is because of the Gemara. So you are subject to a malchus only at the point where you eat a kezias. My time, achil eksibahu, because when the Torah introduces us to the iser achila of sheretz, the Torah uses the words achila. And achila is code in the Torah for kezias. If you take a look at Rashi over here, second Rashi, my time achilik zibahu lo sochlim ki sheketim. So Rashi quotes from Parsha Shmini, the Torah says not to eat it because it's sheket. The achila ain't a pchus mechazais, and that's a rule that whenever the Torah says the word achila, we assume that it means the shear of a kezais, an olive's volume of the sherets. V'hatani Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina kamei de Rav Yochanan. Now the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. I hear you, but I also know the following. We're going to learn a brisa together, and then we're going to learn Rav Yochanan's reaction to the brisa. First the brisa. V'yevdalta bein abehema Torah l'tamea, bein ha'ofa tamei l'tahor, v'losi shaksu v'snafsho sechem, v'behema uva'of. So the Torah says that I made sure that you should know and be able to differentiate between kosher animal, non-kosher animal, kosher bird, non-kosher bird, and do not defile yourself, do not defile your nefesh by eating birds and meat that are not kosher. And then the Torah goes on to say, uvechol asher tirmosh, tirmos, ha'adama asher evdalti lechem l'tameh, and anything that crawls on the ground, all that is going to be prohibited to you. Now, that's the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. And now the Gemara comments. Pasuk ha-kalsov be'achila v'siyim b'tumah. Now, the Torah opens up with the Isser of Achila. The Torah ends off with the Isser of Tumah. Mm. And so it seems like the Torah is conflating the Achila and the idea of Tumah. Ma'tumah b'cha'adasha v'achila b'cha'adasha. And over here, what's the point of conflation? It's to tell us that we know the Shir Tumah is an Adasha. That's a given. We are going to now say that because the Torah conflates Tumah and Achila, so what the Torah is doing is it's redefining the Shir of Achila. Just like Tumah of Sheretz is Becha Adasha, so to Achila of Sheretz also is going to be Becha Adasha. That's the Braisa. Now that's the Braisa. Now, V'kalsa Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan, here's the Braisa. Rav Yochanan gives a big Yeshe Koach. Remember, all Braisas had to have been proofread, and all Braisas had to have been validated. And so here's Rav Yochanan hearing the Braisa. It's not a Mishnah. Mishnah is canon. Mishnah, right there, the Mishnah is are glatt. They're smooth. They're all correct. Not necessarily the accepted halachic position, but the Mishnayos are all espousing good information. But as far as brises are concerned, so we see this time and again throughout the Gemara. Some brises are good. Some brises are not good. Some brises have to be removed from the base medrash and just simply not to be learned anymore. So when Rav Yochanan hears the Braisa, Kal say Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that's a good Braisa. It's a correct Braisa. Now, it's a correct Braisa, but that's a problem. Because how do we open up the second half of today's daf? With a statement of Rav. Rav says, how much do you have to eat of a sheretz in order to be chayav kezayis? And meanwhile, the Braisa tells us that because the Torah conflates by sheretz, tumah and achila, and we know the shir tumah is an adasha, the shir achila is also going to be an adasha. And Rav Yochanan says that's perfect, that's wonderful. But it's not. Meaning, the brisa is good, it's not good for Rav. So, lo kasha, kam b'misasan, kam b'chayehen. So the Gemara makes a wonderful distinction, one that, you think about it, makes sense. The sheretz alive versus the sheretz that's dead. A sheretz that's alive is not a source of tumah. So as far as the sheretz is alive is concerned, now, by the way, it's disgusting to eat shiratzim, period. It's disgusting to eat live shiratzim. Okay, but still, the point is going to go unchanged. While the sheretz is alive, it's not going to be a source of tumah. And as such, the sheretz now, the shir achila is going to be a kezias. Because now there's no tumah of what to speak about, so therefore the shir achila is going to be a kezias. Masha'en came b'misa, some after now the sheretz is dead, and now it's going to be a source of tumah, and the shir tumah is going to be an adasha, the shir achila is also going to be an adasha as well. That's how we're going to now straddle and make a distinction between that which Rav taught us versus that which the Braisa taught us, which Rav Yochanan approved of. So Amalei Abaye v'har Rava Masis and Kai, Umasis and Kol Ashratzim Ketani. Now Abaye says, wait 1 second. Wasn't Rav commenting on our Mishnah? And our Mishnah says Kol Ashratzim. By the way, I remember I told you in the Mishnah the correct Yirsa, right? Our Mishnah has the word Kol Ashkatzim. So I told you that probably the correct Yirsa in the Mishnah is Kol Ashratzim. And now, from our Gemara, it's pretty clear. Because Abaye is quoting our Mishnah, and he's saying Kol Ashratzim. Anyway. So, and the Mishnah says, Kol HaShratzim. Now, Afila B'misa San. Now, when the Mishnah says that Kol HaShratzim are mitzaref, the Mishnah did not make any distinction whatsoever. Meaning the Mishnah was talking about, as the word Kol indicates, all Shratzim. So that means whether they're alive, whether they're dead, they're all going to combine. So if Rav is commenting on the Mishnah, and our Mishnah says Kol HaShratzim, that means both alive and dead. Now, we just made a distinction between live shratzim and dead shratzim in order to straddle and make peace between that which Rav taught us versus that which the Braisa taught us. But if Rav is commenting on the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says kol ha-shratzim, so we're stuck. because now it sounds like it doesn't make a difference whether it's alive or dead.
Skip. The difference between the
eight shots and the other shots? Oh, well, okay. You're on the right track, and we're headed there. Okay, we're just not there yet. But that wonderful thought. It's going to be the Gemara's thought. So Amalei Rav Yosef Hayidiyuka Dilachi. So Rav Yosef says to Abaye, look, it's wonderful you think that way. Good, you think that way. Let me tell you what I think. So Rav Shmaisa Baal Makamar. Rav wasn't commenting on the Mishnah. Rav was making a memra. He was just making a statement. He was not giving pshat in the Mishnah. So you don't have to say what you just said. You said that Rav is commenting on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says kol ha'shratzim, and therefore there's no distinction between live and dead. Rav Yosef says to Abaye, Rav was just making an independent statement that if you eat sheretz, you're only going to be subject to malchus if you eat a kezayis of it. Period. It wasn't commentary on the Mishnah. And therefore, when Rav is going up against a brisa, by the way, that Rav Yochanan validated, so now we can make this distinction between live versus dead, and we're good, and we're not bothered by the Mishnah just simply because Rav wasn't commenting on the Mishnah. Now the Kalsil of Rav Yochanan. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Rav Yochanan heard this brisa. The sheer achila of a sheretz is bicha adasha, and Rav Yochanan said that's wonderful. That's correct. Now the Gemara says, Meitzvah, on that, I'm going to ask the following question. Ha'ivarim, ein lem shir. If I have a limb of a sheretz, right, lobster legs, right? I don't know if I'm saying it right, but if I have a limb of a sheretz, so ha'ivarim, ein lahen shir. There's no shir. Afilu pachos mechazayis nevela, upachos mechadashim in a sheretz, mitam in. Less than a kezayis of a nevela, less than a vadashim of a sheretz are going to be mitame. Now, the basic idea of this brisa is that there's this idea of aver. Aver is a limb. Because it's a full limb of an animal, it is considered an independent unit. This is very similar to the idea of birya. It's significant. And so therefore, it represents a shear, even though it's less than the requisite volume. By nevela, the requisite volume is kezayis. By sheretz, the requisite volume is an adasha. But if it's an aver, even though it's smaller than kezayis by nevela, and smaller than adasha by sheretz, nevertheless, it's going to be a source of tumah. Now, the Amar Rav Yochanan ain lokan aleim ela bechazayis. Now, and Rav Yochanan says, all this brice is good, but this brice is only limited to the issue of tumah. But as far as achila is concerned, when are you going to get malchus? You're only going to get malchus when you eat the amount of a kezayis. Now, this is Rav Yochanan speaking. Rav Yochanan says that the sheer achila is a kezayis. Now, if you think about it, that's confusing. Because Rav Yochanan previously heard the Braisa telling us that the shear of Achila when it comes to a sheretz is an adasha, and Rav Yochanan says that's correct. And meanwhile, Rav Yochanan over here is telling us that anytime we're talking about the shear of a sheretz, when it comes to tumah, so it could be smaller than a kezayis, right? Generally, it's an adasha. If it's an aver, even smaller than an adasha. But when it comes to Achila, the shear is a kezayis. That's difficult because Rav Yochanan previously told us that the shear is going to be in Adasha. So Amarava b'muvdalin, Dibra Kasuv. And so the answer is that when it comes to Rav Yochanan's position regarding Shratzim, it's actually very simple. We're going to make a distinction between Shratzim in general versus the Shmona Shratzim. When it comes to the Shmona Shratzim, so there is the Torah introduces by the Shmona Shratzim, Tumah. And the shear of Tumas and Adasha, that's a given. Again, that's something which is, that's fundamental. The shear of Tumah when it comes to any one of the eight Shratzim is an Adasha. So there the Braisa says that when it comes to the Shmona Shratzim, and now there's Tumah, and the shear of Tumah is an Adasha, the shear of Achila also is going to be an Adasha. Fine, that's the previous Braisa. That's the Braisa towards the top of the Amud. But this Braisa, in which Rav Yochanan commented that the shear is going to be a Kezayis, that's talking about all other shratzim of the world where there is no tumah. So if there's no tumah, so what's going to be the shear of achila? It's going to be the default shear of a kezayis. It's that straightforward. Amale ravada bravala rava lameata behema nami liflege be muvdalas shena muvdalas. So the Gemara says, okay, so you want to tell me now that by shratzim we're going to make a distinction between the eight versus all others. Let me ask you a question. By all other animals, aren't we going to also make a similar type of distinction? Meaning, remember, the pasuk where that God is going about making such distinctions are found on the top of the amud, vihivdaltam, and you're going to make a distinction between kosher and non-kosher animals. So So if you're telling me that there's a distinction to be made when it comes to when it comes to shratzim between the eight and all others, so maybe there should also be a distinction between kosher and non-kosher animals as well. You want to suggest that? So nami liflegebe muvdala shena muvdalas. And what is even the Gemara proposing? Meaning, ultimately, there's going to be a rejection. Meaning, when it comes to nevela of an animal, there is no distinction. The shear is a kazais, period. But at this juncture of the Gemara, what is the Gemara exactly suggesting? If you take a look at the bottom Rashi over here, he writes, I'm reading the last three lines of the Rashi. Hainu b'muvdalas l'behemas tarara kari le muvdalas sh'muvdalas m'behemas tameos d'mutaras b'achila ava behemas tameos sh'enu muvdalas lo mitame adi'ika tfei mikazais adi'ika kebeitza. So what the Gemara is suggesting, the way Rashi explains the Gemara right now at this juncture, is that because by non-kosher animals there's never a heter of achila, so therefore the shear of tuma may be larger. What would be a larger shear than a kazayas? Well, we're just going to have to go with shearim that we're familiar with. Right, so what's bigger than a kazayas would be a kebeitza. And this is the proposal of the Gemara. Because there's no heter achila when it comes to a non-kosher animal, so maybe its tuma is going to be a larger shear, i.e. a beitza. That's what the Gemara is suggesting. The Gemara is going to flatly reject it, as now we turn to the top of Yezayin Amalaf. Amrlei ki kamakish rachmana lebal teshaktu avalishir in lo. So the Gemara says no. In terms of this hekish that the pasuk is making to us, that's only vis-a-vis the iser of bal teshaktu. I'll explain that better in just a moment. But as far as shirim concerned, the Torah is not making any kind of distinction regarding shirim. The shirim is going to be a flat shear of a kezayis, both for kosher and non-kosher animals, both for achila and also for tumah as well. As far as the hekesh of the pasuk is concerned, like linking kosher and non-kosher animals, that's vis-a-vis bal teshaktu. What does the Gemara mean by that? So we turn to the top Rashi on Yezayin Amud Aleph, and he writes as follows, and I'm reading. It has nothing to do with shear, but rather, ela lebal teshaktu. It has to do with the iser of bal teshaktu. The kamash malan, the achas nevela behema tameya, the achas nevela behema tahara, the behema tahara, the achas shratz the mechayv a ochlan mishum bal teshaktu. So the Torah is coming to introduce us to this new iser. Meaning, if I eat the carcass of kosher animal, if I eat the carcass of non-kosher animal, kosher animal meaning just simply kosher type, but it wasn't shechted properly. Or if I eat the carcass of non-kosher animal, or if I eat sheretz, so the Torah is telling us that in addition to violating the isurim of nevela and behemah tameya, there's also another isur on top of that, and that's the isur of bal teshaktu. Do not defile yourselves. Ula afu she'lav b'nevelas behemah, in addition to the Isser Nevela, in addition to the Isser Behemah Temeya, the Torah also tells us that there's another Isser as well of Bal Teshaktu. Do not defile yourself. So that's the only reason why the Torah equated the two, compared the two, put them side by side, just to introduce us to this additional law. And presumably, I mean, the Gemara doesn't hammer this point, and what I'm saying may or may not be correct, so just a disclaimer. Presumably then, if this is another lav, so presumably it would be subject to another set of malchus as well, but I'm not sure about that. Let's quickly recap our day. First half of today's daf, we talked about nevela, combining one with another. The Mishnah says that kol ha-nevelas mustar from zuazu, all nevelas combine one with another. Nevela of kosher and nevela of non-kosher animals combine with one another. To what degree? What is the scope of that combination? That was the first half of today's daf. Machlokus between Rav and Levi, and possibly Rav Asi as well, and the various ramifications of each of those positions. Second half of today's daf, the iser of shratzim, of eating shratzim. How much of the sheretz do you have to eat in order to violate the Torah? So the answer is a kazayas. However, as we further refined our understanding, when it comes to the shmona shratzim, and after they're dead, and after they give off tuma, and the shear of tuma is an adasha, so there the shear of achila also is going to be an adasha as well. So that will affect, the shear tumah is going to affect the shear achila, but only regarding the shmona shratzim, and only after they're dead. But outside of that, the shear is going to be a kezayis. What about the pasuk and parshas kedoshim? That just introduces us to another lav, and that is a lav of bal teshaktu.